Right. Take your Bibles, if you will, please. Turn to John chapter 8. Going a little slow through this, but some interesting things here. Anybody need a worksheet? Didn't get one? Raise your hand. Anybody at all? All right. Very good. Okay. John chapter 8. And we have worked several things here through, and there's a theme going through this passage, and this is all one great big conversation. So we kind of need to finish it out there and kind of keep everything all in one piece. Let me read our scripture here. Looks like Brother Ken Ravenstein's leaving early. He's not apparently not feeling real well at the moment. Is that what's going on there? Okay, so you pray for Brother Ken. He has his times there sometimes. Miss Shirley just took him out, and so you pray for him. 8:31. Here we go. Verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And they answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, or truly, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father." And they answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." And Jesus saith unto them, "If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father." And they said to him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God." And Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from the Father. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. But why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." Then answered the Jews and said unto him, "Say we not well that thou art Samaritan and hast the devil?" He just called them the children of the devil. And then they're going to tell him, "Well, no, you're the devil." And let's stop right there. We're talking about no truth, no freedom. No truth, no freedom. Father, again, we thank you for your word, and I don't want to belabor this overly long, but Lord, I want us to understand these things, and sometimes we don't see things quite clearly and don't quite understand why people do what they do and why there's the issues that they are, and Lord, you can help us understand some of that here this evening. So here again, I ask for your Holy Spirit to teach us, to direct us, to guide our thoughts, so that we will indeed hear your word. So, Lord, I pray that you're blessed. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Going back from where we started, sin is not freedom. Of course, that's what people... One of the things that people don't like about a church, especially a church like this, is there's all this... They'll call it legalism, which they don't know the term they're talking about. We don't believe you do good so you can get into heaven. We believe that the Lord has saved us, and by his grace and mercy, we're going to go to heaven. And so because of that, we serve him out of love and out of a spirit that now wants to please him. They've got it backwards. That's not unusual. Have you ever felt like you say, well, it's like they just don't understand. Well, I mean, why do they twist our words like that? Well, some of them will twist our words. Some of them literally just do not understand. The things of God are foolishness to the natural man. People think that, well, you know, the problem is I want freedom. And we're saying, boy, when I got saved, I never felt so free. And the load lifted. The problems, you know, I mean, the problem's still there, but I have a father that's going to go through these things with me. And they're going to say, no, I don't want to go to church. So I won't have any freedom. Can't do anything. I had a buddy of mine, actually it was the one I was talking about the other time, about who kind of wanted to throw out everything because of the testimony of a Sunday school teacher we had in that little church I grew up in. And he started going to church with a girlfriend of his. And said, I can't take that. Can't do this. You can't do that. Not supposed to do this. Can't do that. And all this. He said, I don't want to. That's no place. That's no way to live. I'm not going there anymore. And the thing is, what was happening was they were teaching them some things that's going to keep them from being imprisoned, if you will. Captive to their own sin. Sin is not freedom. Sin captures us, controls us, and holds us in bondage. Truth frees us from sin. But now, in order to receive the freedom, we must receive the truth. And let me say that line again. In order to receive the freedom, we must be willing to receive the truth, whether we like the truth or whether we don't like the truth. Now, again, last Sunday morning we talked about this. If God's word is not good enough for you, then whose is? We go to God's word, let's accept it for what it is, and it's proven itself true all these centuries, and we need to stick with it. And so it doesn't go out of date. God is eternal, and so we need to stick with it. Now, so from a review, remember this. Number one, being a believer gives freedom from the penalty of sin. So we don't have to go to hell. We get to go to heaven. And this is positional sanctification. That puts us in position from the list that's going to hell to the list of the saved. The ones who's got their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Number two, if a believer continues, abides in, stays with expectancy, if a believer continues in the Word of God, he can have freedom from the power of sin in his daily life. This is progressive sanctification. So to continue means to stay with expectancy. To stay with expectancy. You're going to live you're in a way that you're looking for the the answers in the book. You just got to find them. Yeah, have you ever lost your car keys and you know you had them when you came in the house? And somehow they have just disappeared. But you haven't left the house since the last time you had them. So you know they're in the house someplace. And you just keep looking, and you're looking, and you're looking. And even when you're disgusted with it all, and you're ready to give up, you think to yourself, but I had them when I came in the house. They've got to be here someplace. And my wife was going through that the other day. She's usually pretty organized. I forget what it was. It was the keys, I think. And she was looking for something. She couldn't find it for anything. But it was in the house, and sure enough, there it was in the house. The answers are in the book. Now, I might get frustrated because I haven't found the answer yet, but the answer is in the book because truth is in the book. And everything really matters. There's either a clear answer or a principle that I can follow. And so because when we look at it, the Word of God is the reasonings of God. And so one that continues in the Word of God is going to be a disciple indeed. And a disciple is a learner. If he's learning, then he's going to end up knowing, number three, truth. To not accept Jesus as a Son of God and a Savior is to refuse truth. Now remember, if a learner is going to learn the truth, then the truth is going to make him free from all this mess. But the first truth we have to learn, the first truth we must accept, is that Jesus Christ is God who died on the cross and paid for our sins. Now that opens up a whole world to us, access to the wisdom and understanding and the blessings from God. But we've got to be willing to do that. Now the only obstacle, really, that we have to getting that first truth that Jesus Christ is God and our Savior is usually simple pride. I don't want to admit that I'm a sinner. I don't want to admit that I can't fix it myself, make up for it myself, pay for it myself. Me, 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 me. Or I'm fine just I am. Don't you call it a sin. I don't call it a sin. It's me. So when we refuse truth, letter A, we're refusing the freedom that the penalty of sin provided for the Son of God. So when we refuse truth, we're refusing the freedom. Number four, if one refuses the freedom from the penalty of sin, now I think this is new now, isn't it? Yeah, number four. If one refuses the freedom from the penalty of sin, he will still be in his sin and still here cannot become free from the power of sin. You follow me? You can become free from the power of sin, but you do that when God comes in your heart and makes you a new creation in Christ. And he opens the door that we can cry, Abba, Father, his spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we're his children. And that we can go to him. But listen, we have no right to go to him until we're willing to accept him as our Savior. And so there's a lot of folks, they want all that the church and being a Christian will give them, but they don't want to start with the first truth. I'm a sinner headed for hell and I need a Savior, and Jesus Christ is the one and only that can fix that. I want freedom from all this mess, but again, many folks, and again, the folks that probably in RU, they think I'm going to come in, you're going to help me push a few buttons, and I'm going to get over this thing, then I'll go on about my life and live the way I want to live it anyway. Mm-mm. We have to humble ourselves and seek the mercy. This is not, you know, I'd really appreciate it, Lord, if you would do, no. It's I am headed for hell. And if I don't do something right now, I may have a little bit of inkling what hell is on this side of eternity. But I have no hope without a Savior who's going to make me a new creation and regenerate my soul. So, Lord, since you're the only one and I don't deserve it because I know what I did against you, but I believe that you're merciful and that you love me. Your book says you love the world so much you gave your only begotten Son. You commended your love towards us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. And you said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I'm calling on it. I'm claiming it. Please, in your mercy, will you save me? But a lot of folks can't bring themselves to that. Listen, one cannot... I don't think I've got this on there. I got a couple of statements. I want you to listen. One cannot continue in the Word if one has not begun in the Word. Right? He said to the believers, if you continue now in my Word, they had already accepted the Word of who he is if they truly were believers. So what if you refuse to accept the Word of God entirely? Well, if we refuse to believe in Jesus as the Son of God and the Savior, we still have no hope of ever truly being free indeed from the power of sin. We've got to start with that. And you know, I hate to say it, it becomes old hat. We get so used to it, and yes, Jesus is your Savior, da 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 da. And I think sometimes generations come up and they don't take it seriously. The kid's a good kid. He always goes to youth group, and he's a nice attitude. Says yes sir, no sir, and sounds like a really good boy, and everything's fine. So I'm sure he's saved. Well, do you know for sure? Well, I'm sure he is. You remember Kenny Dallas, our assistant pastor here? He was saved at Bible college. When he went forward, it was the opening of college that year. And the preacher preached on, "Are you sure you're saved?" Or something to that type of. And you think, and he said, the preacher said, "You know, you think this is crazy. I'm going to preach this at a Bible college. But I feel like I'm supposed to preach it." And Kenny got up and started going forward. He said, "What are you going up?" He said, "I got to go up and get saved." "Oh, come on, Kenny. Your dad's been, you grew up here." His dad was working, had been there all those years as a cook at the college. And he grew up at the college and heard preachers and all this stuff years and years and years. "You sure you're saved?" He said, "I'm not saved." And Kenny's a big boy. 6'5", you know, at that point he's probably, 200 pounds. I don't know what he is now. He's a big boy. Not fat, but he's a big boy. You don't want to mess with him. And except he's a big teddy bear. And he said, finally, the guy said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm," "I've got to push him down. And I'm going to go get saved." Went down front. And the guy down front said, what are you coming up here for, Kenny?" He said, "I need to get saved." "Now, come on, Kenny." He said, "I wasn't saved. I play the part." You see, with a heart, man believes in the righteousness. And we can play the game, and I think sometimes we're not careful, we play the game. I'm kind of, my wife is too, sort of kind of first generation Christians. And our kids are second generation Christians. But you got to watch out. Second generation Christians need to have just as much of a relationship with God as first generation Christians. They need to feel the mercy of God as much as a first generation Christian. They need to accept the fact they're sinners just like a first generation Christian. Sometimes I think too many families, "Well, I got good kids." They're sinners headed for hell unless they get saved, just so you know. They might be good. They might not be causing you any trouble, but they're sinners headed for hell, and you better get that straightened out. And the fact is, if you don't get it straightened out, when they get away from you, they're going to do their own thing. Sooner or later. We think we're free, but we're not. Listen, we are what we do, not what we think we are. What one is by human birth on the outside, because you were born into the right family, does not mean the same thing on the inside. Look at our next little passage there. It says, "Like father, like son." Look what it says there. Jesus says, "I know that ye are Abraham's seed." In other words, I know that you can trace your DNA back to Abraham. I know you, if you do an ancestor thing on there, we're going to find you all the way back to Abraham. Sure enough, it's going to go all the way back to Abraham. "But you seek to kill me." Now, physically, yes, you're part of Abraham's seed. "But you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you." In other words, there's no space, the word place, no space, no room in your heart for truth. It's full of sin and lies. He says, "Listen, I speak that which I have seen." That word "seen" there means to discern, to pay attention to. He says, I speak that which I have seen with my Father. "And ye do that which ye have seen with your father." See, they have been learning, discipling, if they will, from their father, the devil. They've been doing what the flesh wanted to do. They have continued in the ways of Satan. And the ways of Satan are lies and murder. Look at the next one. They think they have been following Abraham, but they have been rewriting history. Look at verse 39. They answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." And Jesus said unto them, "If ye were Abraham's children," if you were really coming from who he is, "ye would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me." a man that hath told you the truth, which I've heard of God. Abraham never did that. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said to him, we not be born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said to the guy, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Now, it's interesting that they start attacking him, ridiculing him, because they just implied that mama was, that he was illegitimate. Mommy wasn't married when he was conceived. Okay, they're just kind of throwing that in his face. And by the way, folks, you don't have a good argument. That's the kind of stuff they do. But anyway, he says, if you really were like Abraham, you would like me. See, we think we're free because overall things are good right now. Or we're really not free. We need the truth if we're going to really be free indeed. And if we refuse the truth, we will not be really and truly free. Now, for our application, individually, we've got to make sure that you're saved. You didn't just pray a prayer. You didn't just nod in consent of something. You didn't just sign your name. You accepted Jesus Christ as a Savior out of the mercy of God. I was listening to the radio on the way up. It's called a Christian station in the local area here. And they were advertising a meeting that they were going to have. And then he said this, we're going to have things for the children. And then he started telling us what they were going to have for the children. They were going to have games and refreshments and activities and crafts. And they were going to have all those things for the kids. Listen, that's the time to get those kids. By the way, our meeting we have coming up in the fall here with Richard Harper, they're actually going to be running simultaneously a little revival for the kids, the kids. Now, seventh grade and up, we're going to still be in here. But for the little ones, they're going to do that for them. Now, again, they're not there to entertain them. They're going to teach them. They're going to get the gospel. They're going to have something there for them. And again, we have generations that come up, and they think, well, I'm saved. I've got everything going on because daddy was a preacher and granddaddy was a preacher, or grandma was in church all the time, and we did that. We grew up there, and we're a Christian family. It's who we are in our heart, not what our birth certificate says. Number five, the lies of Satan make truth hard to understand. The lies of Satan makes truth hard to understand. Look at verse 43. Jesus says, why do ye not understand my speech? In other words, he said, I'm talking to you, but it's almost as like I'm talking a different language. You don't even understand the words I'm saying. It's just like wah 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 wah. You know, it's Charlie Brown. You know, wah 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 when the adults are talking. It's like it just breezes right on by. Like you have no idea what I'm even saying, and you can't even comprehend what I'm doing. He says, "Why do you not understand my speech?" And he answers his own question. Because ye cannot hear my word. What's he saying? The reason, because you have an aversion to truth. You have been following the flesh rather than the spirit. You're thinking in the ways of your father, the devil. Look what goes on. Ye are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. So there's no wonder you're all trying to kill me. By the way, it's still against the law to kill. And not just the civil law, but God's law. That didn't seem to bother them a bit. Oh, we're righteous and we're holy. By the way, that guy there, he hadn't done anything wrong. We're going to kill him. It sounds like the mafia. Guido's going to put, concrete slippers on him. We're going to get rid of him. But somehow, all that's justified. Because we get so blinded by our sin, blinded by our lust, blinded by our way of thinking, blinded, easily blinded, because we're not willing to accept truth. And that initial truth, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. You are your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. And when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So what the Lord is saying hardly even makes sense, because their thinking is so distorted by the flesh. I mentioned to you a while back, I had somebody in my office some time back, and it was back when Nathan was in college, and I know he grew up in quite a dysfunctional home, and was now trying to establish his own home, and it's at the time was pretty dysfunctional as well. And right before we got ready to do a little counseling there, Nathan texted me, and we hadn't quite started, so I thought, well, it's God for him to text me in the middle of the day. Maybe something's wrong. So I picked up the phone, opened up the text, and it just simply says, "Love you, Dad. Praying for you." And so I showed him the text. This is from my son. He's in college. And he looked at me and he shook his head. He says, "I can't even wrap my brain around that." He couldn't remember the last time his father said, "I love you," or even think about wanting to say, "I love you," praying for you, to his own dad. Because he'd lived so long in the other frame of mind that to say this is how you're supposed to do it, people look at you this like you're crazy. I remember the first time I told someone one time, I said, Jan and I were probably married 15 years before we had anything you could consider, even consider a fight. You know, an argument, you know, and it didn't get loud. So we were married 15 years before that happened, before, and he said, "Well, don't you ever disagree?" And I said, "Well, sure we do." "Well, there you go. You had a disagreement. You just called something different, huh?" I said we can disagree without being disagreeable. Now I think we're kind of abnormal. And to be honest with you, I will tell you, I think it's because of her. She'll tell you because she thinks it's because of me. I think it's because we try not to get on each other's nerves, and we love each other and try not to push those buttons. You know, I've been married to her 38 years. Just not as it's been bad 38 years. I just can't imagine it's 38 years already. I know her buttons. And she knows mine. But we're smart enough to leave them alone. And that person, you said, "Well, obviously you have this..." No, you don't have to. You don't have to. And people will get there so far into what the world says and the way they've been thinking for so long, it's like truth doesn't hardly make sense to them anymore. Or maybe it never did. Letter B. The Holy Spirit, now think this through with me. The Holy Spirit, which indwells those that believe, guides them into all truth. He says, "Continue my word, and you shall be my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So you get by the word of God, you get saved, then you continue in the word, and you become a disciple, and to learn with expectancy, and you're going to end up knowing truth, and truth is going to make you free. Now, the Bible tells us in John that the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. Now, watch me. If we're not saved, we do not have the Spirit. If we do not have the Spirit, the Spirit is not guiding us into all truth, and thus we do not receive truth. We receive what we understand, the lies of this world. We're not going to understand truth, and all that God wants is that makes us free until we're willing to get saved and accept that truth. See, here's the problem. They don't want to know any truth because they're refusing the first truth, that they're sinners who need to be saved by grace. We receive what we understand. 1 Corinthians 2 says this, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned." Now, you've heard that passage before, and we just kind of glance right over it. You read that passage, listen to what it says, and it says, if you're not listening to the Spirit of God, you're not going to get truth. And you don't have the Spirit of God to show you truth if you're not willing to get saved, because you've got to receive the first truth, your salvation. That's just the way it is. I don't care. Listen, I don't care if the guy did write 15 books. If he doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, I don't really have time to listen to his fallacies. He might get a few things correct by chance. But every clock is right twice every day. And yet we'll say, well, listen. The Word of God says we've got to know truth that comes from the Word of God through the Spirit of God. The devil is what they think they need. And he's a liar and a murderer. Verse 45. "Because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not." Now let me back it up. He says, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. But when I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. Why? Because truth is foolishness to the unsaved man. And so they don't believe it, because he is telling them the truth, and truth doesn't make sense to them. They feel more akin with the lies of Satan because it agrees with their flesh and their sinful nature. Listen, don't be fighting the Bible. If you've got a real problem with the Bible, and it's pretty clear in the Bible, it's not the Bible that's wrong. You've been living in the world too long. If the Bible says, here's how we're supposed to do this, and you're fighting, say, but everybody else, nobody else is doing this, everybody else gets to do this. You know what you're saying? I'm not understanding truth because I've been living in the world too long. I've allowed the truth of the lies of the world to make it difficult to understand the truth of God. There's a lot of things. You know what? There's more of the world in the church than we know, than we realize. If you want an earful, come Sunday morning. We've been talking about wanting God on our own terms. We're going to talk about some things on Sunday morning that you that have been here heard me touch on a week or two ago. But it was a night that we had vacation Bible school, so there wasn't very many folks in here. And I want to spend a little bit of time on this because it actually tells us this exact thing. We're so accustomed to the world that the Bible seems out of touch and irrelevant. And what do? They toss it aside because it's no longer relevant in this world. No, well, I tell you what's not relevant. The world's not relevant to truth. Truth hasn't changed. So when Jesus gives truth, it doesn't fit into their preconceived notions and thus makes no sense to them. Number 6. Those that choose the lies of this world do not like being confronted with truth. The life and testimony of Jesus was at that point clear evidence of who Jesus is. We've already read it. The crowd said, listen, this, he has to be of God. Who else can do this thing? I mean, no man has ever spake like this man speaks. I mean, the miracles and all that he does, and all that the leadership could say, yeah, but he did it on the Sabbath, so it doesn't count. The problem is they just don't want to admit that they're wrong. Look at verse 46. Which of you, Jesus speaking, which of you convinceth me of sin? Now that word convinceth is kind of an old usage there. It says, do you have evidence that would convince others that I'm a sinner or that I have sinned sometime or other? What kind of evidence do you have that's a convincing proof that I have sinned? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. He therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. You don't want God. You want your own place. You want to be in control. He made it pretty plain there. The reason you don't believe it is because you're not of God. You're not looking for truth. You want to deny truth. He says, now listen. What was Jesus? He was the evidence of God himself. Hebrews 1:1. No, that's not right. That's not right. Hold on a second here. That's not it either. Where am I? Why am I not finding it? Oh, it is. 1:1. That's right. I'm right. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. What I'm saying, when God sent his only begotten Son to the earth, not only did he come to save the world by dying on the cross, he came to be the expression, the express image of God himself before man. Whatever he did, that's what God would have done, because God did it. And we can't, we kind of take those words lightly. But I believe that if we lived during his day, we would say, never a man spake like this man. Who else could he be who does such things? What manner of love is this? And so he's telling him, he said, listen, you can't convince me of sin. You can't convict me of sin. My life has proven what I am. In fact, it says, if you don't believe my word, my works should at least give you evidence of who I am. And all they said was, the Jews answered and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and a house of the devil? A Samaritan. Where'd that come from? Whatever little ridicule or insult they could come up with. You know, the Samaritans. We never did like that bunch. He's probably from Samaria. He has a devil. What are they doing? If you don't have a legitimate argument, many will resort to name-calling, ridicule, intimidation. That's what they're doing. They didn't have anything. They didn't have anything. And by the way, if you start getting in a conversation and people start to resort to that kind of stuff, you won. You already won. Don't stoop to their level. Just stay above board, stay on truth, and walk away. You've got them. Look at verse 49. Jesus answers, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. He says, listen, what's it coming down to? He says, I want you to know truth, and truth will make you free. So what he's saying, we got to start with the first truth. Y'all going to die, but your soul can live forever. If you listen to what I have to say and accept it. He's trying to get them back to the first truth. Number 7, they have no idea how to argue with the doctrine that Jesus is teaching, so they try to, here it is, discredit the messenger. Discredit the messenger. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who makest thou thyself? Who do you think you are? Who are you trying to make yourself out to be here? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It's my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he's your God. God has blessed what I've been doing, and you've seen it. That's what he's saying. You've seen what's been going on, the works that I've done, things that I do, how I do them. That's of God. The God that you say is your God has been blessing me. And yet you will not even listen to him because you're not willing to accept the truth. Verse 55. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. Boy, he sticks that in there. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And they knew what I am meant. Mr. Moses heard that at the burning bush. I am that I am. There's no doubt. And who he was claiming to be. And there's no doubt the evidence that backs up who he claims to be. And by the way, you read the Old Testament, I think you'll find, you know, we talk about, some people want to think, they say that, you know, all this, the things of Jesus and the grace and mercy and all that, was never even thought of in the Old Testament. It's a New Testament thing, and somebody else wrote the Old Testament, and someone else wrote the New Testament, and it's almost like there's two different gods, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Don't buy it. You'll see Christ all the way through there. And, for instance, there's several times when the angel of the Lord came to see Abraham. I believe with all my heart that was a pre-incarnate Christ. I really do. I think the man that Jacob wrestled with in the river Jabbok was a pre-incarnate Christ. I believe that the soldier, the captain of the guard, or whatever, that Joshua saw before they went in to take Jericho, I believe that was a pre-incarnate Christ. I really do. And he said, I've seen the face of God, and yet I'm not dead. They knew who they were seeing. Just like they saw the face of God when they saw Jesus, but they didn't die, veiled in flesh. 1 John 1:18 says this, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of Abraham, of the Father, he hath declared him. Just like it said in Hebrews 1:1, God has in sundry times by prophets and so forth, in these days, by his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. I believe that if you saw Christ, you'd have to make a decision. As, am I going to accept the truth, or am I going to deny the truth? One last one, we're almost done. The Jews did understand that Jesus was claiming to be God. But I think they refused to accept him as such. Verse 59. Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. You know what they were doing? Fighting against their own freedom. Fighting against their own freedom. Far as I know in here, everybody up in this room, far as I know, has trusted Christ as their Savior. But if we want to be free indeed, we need to continue in the Word. Then we'll truly be a disciple, a learner. If we're truly a learner, then we're going to know truth. And the truth will make us free. Now, I say this to say this. When we fight what's written in the Word of God, we're fighting our own freedom from the power. When we're not willing to accept what the written Word of God tells us, we're not willing to accept what the Holy Spirit is speaking to our hearts about, as long as it agrees with the Word, we're fighting our own freedom. We think that the Word of God is setting us up, is causing us to be restricted in our lifestyles. It's kind of like we've been talking about on Sunday mornings. The Lord's rod and his staff keep us on that little path of righteousness, that little narrow way. But that's the only way that's going to get where we need to go. So that's actually the open way, the way of freedom. Where the other ones are a bunch of dead ends. Although it looks good for a while, but they're dead ends. If there's something that's going on in your heart, in your life, the Lord has revealed something and you've been fighting it. I will say this. There's a basic principle. I'm not going to preach it tonight, of course, but the basic principle. God will continue to give you light as long as you accept the light he's given you. There's a lot of people come to a stopping part, a place in their walk with God because the Lord has revealed something they need to tend to. It might become difficult. Maybe it's embarrassing. Maybe, I don't know what the deal might be. Maybe it's bitterness. I don't know what it might be. But they just stop. I'm not going to take care of that. We'll just put that aside. Let me move on here, Lord. Don't expect to get real far. Just like here, they were not accepting him as Christ. They weren't going to know the truth. In fact, truth just didn't make any sense. I have seen people who have gotten bitter against God because they just didn't like how he did something. They just kind of bowed their back up, crossed their arms, and I'm not going any further. And be honest with you, they got further and further away from God. Why? Because they were not willing to receive that one truth. Their heart was turned against God. They weren't really getting any truth, much of anything. If your life has seemed to, if you were growing for a while and now all of a sudden you seem like everything has stopped and you wonder where God is, remember, he didn't move. Maybe there's something we need to tend to and exist, accept, so we can move on. We naturally abide or continue in the ways of the world. If we continue in the Word of God, we will know the truth, and the truth will make us free from the power of sin. Father, thank you for speaking to us tonight. And sometimes some parts of that's tough. But Lord, it's the way of freedom. It's the right path. And so, Lord, I pray that give us your wisdom and speak to our hearts once again, that we may know the truth and let the truth make us free. Thank you. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. 3:16.